Okay, if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 40. Just do a little bit of recapping. We've been looking at Joseph. What a character. What a guy. His total commitment to God. Looking at his family, we've looked at how we've been rejected. They were beaten, sold, ended up being a slave. Just a man of integrity. A few weeks ago, we looked at his sexual temptation and how he actually dealt with that and the pressure that he had. So this morning, we find now Joseph is in jail. He's doing time, as Moreg said. He made a decision to stand for God. He hadn't done anything wrong, and he ends up in jail. The title... It's all to do with waiting. Will you wait? That's the title for this morning. A young lad stood at the bottom of an escalator. Been stood there for a while. And one of the attendants came up to him and said, "Are you lost?" And he says, "No." He says, "I'm just waiting for my chewing gum to come back." You know, when these kids stick it on and it kind of comes back again. It's all to do with waiting. We all love a good wait, don't we? No, we don't, do we? We hate waiting around. I have got pet hates for waiting. Driving. Why do 20 in a 30? You know, when is anybody like me? You're driving behind someone and it's like, it's 30. Why are you doing 15? Or why do 30 in a 40? Why do 40 in a 50? What is up with you? Get your foot down. I get so impatient. It's not road rage, but I'm thinking, I ain't got time. Does anybody else do that? Or is it just me? Susie, yeah. Yeah, there's quite a few of us. The two brothers at the back. Big time. It absolutely. And another one. Going to Tesco, and you're in a rush. And you get to the checkout, and this person at the front don't seem to be in a rush. And then they go through the checkout, and guess what? They know the person, the cashier, and they get talking, and it's like, come on, I ain't got time. Is anybody like that? It's awful, isn't it? It's like, you listen to a conversation, and they're related. So they go into family, and it's like there's a queue coming, and it's, come on, I ain't got time for this. We don't wait. We're terrible at waiting. Does anybody else get any pet hates? Come on, don't be shy. Just tell me what they are. Mine's traffic. Sorry? Yeah, the weekly shop. Yeah, they're like four trolleys, big families. Just, yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, that's isn't it funny? We're so impatient, aren't we? Ruth, have you got any? No. She's perfect, is my wife. Have you got what did she say? Commercials. Sorry, Ali, go on. We might as well have a good moan, haven't we, while we're at it? Go on, Ali. Right. You can't stand that. Yeah, because that's home, isn't it, really? Yeah. You do. It's all coming out now, isn't it? Oh, man. Waiting. We're not good at it. And you and I live in an age and an era that it's internet, broadband, everything's instant, everything's quick. And we get used to that kind of living. And our techie world, it doesn't help, does it? Because we want everything easier and we want everything faster. So really, we live in an age where I ain't got time for anything because I get everything instant. I get everything now. And so whenever we wait at a checkout or we're waiting behind this slow driver, it's like, come on. And so we live in this thinking, and yet God don't work like that. And so this is why sometimes it gets a little bit more frustrating, because God's way is always waiting in his diary. There's a purpose in it. And a purpose what God does in us while we have to wait. We can either kind of just wait, hanging on, just thinking, right, let me just get through it, or we can learn as we begin to wait. Chapter 37 of Genesis, we find Joseph right at the beginning with his family, with his brothers, with his friends. He's the blue-eyed boy. He's got this lovely, flashy long coat. He's got long sleeve, which means he don't have to work. He's got kind of everything. He's the favorite. At the end of chapter 37, we find that Joseph has become a slave. A few weeks ago, we looked at Genesis 39, how he resisted temptation. Then we come to chapter 40, which we're going to read a few verses. At the beginning, we find Joseph now is in jail. At the end of chapter 40, Joseph's still in jail. Surely, God, that's not fair. He's done nothing wrong, so what on earth are you doing? Let's read chapter 40, starting at verse 1. If you've got a Bible, we're going to be looking in the NIV. It says these words: "Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials and the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended to them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Then Joseph came to them the next morning, and he saw that they were dejected. Sorry, I've got my wife's teeth in this morning. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, 'Why are your faces so sad today?' 'We both had dreams,' and they answered, 'but there's no one to interpret them.' And then Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream.'" That tells us a lot about the character of Joseph. And you'll find, I find this really interesting, chapter 40 verses 1 to 4, who is the captain of the guard? And you'll find the answer in the previous chapter, chapter 39 verse 1, it's Potiphar himself. Ooh, I never saw that before. So here's Potiphar giving Joseph charge over his whole house. And you remember when Pop's wife accused him of rape? Now in that day, rape, for a slave to actually rape his master's wife would have been death, not prison. It'd have been death. So here we've got Potiphar maybe being a little bit lenient on Joseph, as now is not death, he actually sends him into prison. But then, because of his service in his own household, he knows what Joseph is like, and he says, "Okay, I want you to just take charge of all the prisoners." Man, what a— that's incredible. God has got his hand on Joseph. Willing to wait. He couldn't get out. He can't appeal. There's no escape. Have you ever felt like that in kind of situations in life? Something that you're going through, something that you can't get out of, you can't appeal against it. There doesn't seem to be any escape. And yet God, as we see here in the life of Joseph, is at work in Joseph. The other thing is here is that as we look through this, we can look at the whole story, and we've got the whole thing. We can also look at it from beginning to end regarding where Joseph ended up and what he went through and where it all started. We can look at that, but he couldn't. He couldn't look at the whole picture. He didn't have a clue what on earth were going on. He never heard these words: "Hang on, Joseph, we'll get you out of here. There's a high position waiting for you." He never heard things like that. And he'd no idea about the butler. and no idea about the baker coming. And he didn't have a clue. To Joseph, it was just one day at a time. And when you and I are going through the mill, and we go through things, and it's like, this is really tough. I want to get out of this. I need an excuse to sidestep it. And somehow God in his sovereignty, in these times, is doing something really special in our lives. And this is what he was doing in Joseph. It's a great thing, is this. But because of our era and our time, we find it difficult to wait. But it's often God's ways of waiting. And waiting is really, really hard. Just tell you a bit of a story. It says, man talking to God. And he says, Lord, is it true that 1,000 years is just like a minute to you? And the Lord says, yeah, that's right. And the man said, well, Lord, that must mean that $1,000,000 to us must just be like a penny to you. And the Lord said, yeah, he said, you could say that. Well, Lord, said the man, he says, could you give me one of those pennies? And the Lord said to him, yeah, of course, just wait here a minute. We often want the penny, but we don't want the timing. And God's timing is never late, he's never in a hurry, his timing is always bang on. And some of the things that we're still waiting for, still waiting for a loan, still waiting to start a family, still waiting for that right man or that right woman to come into my life, still waiting to hear from God in what he's calling me to do, some prayers that have not been answered yet, some family members that I'm still waiting to come to Christ. Most of life is waiting. You can ask Ruth this, but one of her pet hates, I hope you don't mind me saying this, it's not me by the way, is watching something and then commercials. The commercials seem to go longer than the actual program. I counted 14 commercials in one break. We'd actually forgot what we were watching. You know what I mean? It's like, we're waiting, come on. And Ruth will just turn off the volume button. She'll say, I ain't got time for this. And it, you know, let me just say, if you love watching TV and whatever, just record it, because you can just put it on fast forward, all the commercials, and go straight through. Does anybody do that? Yeah, oh, wise. We've got some wise people here. Listen to this quote. It says, true waiting is trusting God in what he is doing, and yet we've no idea what he's doing. Listen, just look at Joseph's character. It says that Joseph was really, really faithful. All that he went through, his family, his rejection, being falsely accused, what did he do in prison? He just got on with it. I love this guy. The more that I'm studying this, the more that God's speaking to me about him. And do you know what he did? He served other people. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. In other words, just give it 100% in anything that you do. Even when the unexpected things turn up, keep doing what you're doing. Listen to Martin Luther. If it falls your lot to be a road sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, like Shakespeare wrote poetry, like Beethoven composed music, so that all heaven on earth will notice faithfulness has its rewards. Isn't that great? I love that quote. And then chapter 40, verses 5 to 8, we've looked at his faithfulness, and then what stands out as well is an example of his attitude. Put yourself in his shoes. Look at what he's gone through. Taste it for a little bit. Being rejected, falsely accused. This guy's done nothing wrong and he's in jail. And these two guys come in and Joseph didn't go up to him and say, you know, I want to identify with you. You want to hear what I've gone through. This is Joseph, right? What we've just read in chapter 40. And he's asking this question, why are your faces downcast? In other words, in Yorkshire terms, what are you looking so miserable for? This is Joseph. He had every right to be miserable. He shouldn't even be in prison. And what he's doing in prison, he's getting on with it and he's serving God by serving other people. This is so brilliant. It's not about him. It's not about what he's gone through, because he's trusting that to God. What he's doing is just getting on with it, and he's serving other people. Why are you sad? When you think of the cupbearer and the baker, it's like, well, you should be sad. Look what you've gone through. But there were none of that. There were no kind of self-pity, no pity party. I just love this guy, Joseph. He's just serving other people while he's in prison. And these two men, this cupbearer and the butler, they had dreams. And then Joseph said, interpretations belong to God, don't they? Wow, why did he say that? Because really, he's had dreams. You've got these two guys who've had dreams, and some dreams, don't get me wrong, they're all due to red wine and too much cheese, or late nights and steaks and chips and all the stuff that we had last night. Sometimes we can dream because of the wrong food. Sometimes we can dream because we feared the things throughout the week or throughout the day. But sometimes God gives dreams. And he puts dreams within us that are bigger than us. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There's a way that God speaks to us, and sometimes these dreams are from God. And that's why Joseph said here, interpretations belong to God, don't they? What's the dream that God has put into you? Something that's not happened yet. Something that's bigger than you. Something that God has really put in your heart. And you know what? Sometime it's going to come to fruition. And this is what happened here. These are some dreams are really from God. And these dreams here, the butler and the baker had them. Pharaoh had a two-part dream. This is something that Joseph didn't say. Guys, leave it alone. Take no notice of them. I've had them before. They've never worked for me. Look where I am. All that he has gone through. He just knows that these dreams from God are actually going to come to fruition. They're going to happen. And if you look at verse 8 of chapter 40, Joseph stood out in his own generation. Why? Because he saw God everywhere. He saw God in everything. He even saw God in prison. And he knew that prison wasn't that big because he saw God a lot bigger. And this is the whole thing where we're getting from Joseph. God is bigger than anything that you and I could ever, ever go through. Every circumstance, every difficulty, he knows where we are, and he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's accomplishing within every life. Everything that we've gone through, and everything that we're going through, and everything that we will go through, God has a purpose. And I want to encourage us, don't try and sidestep it. Don't try and go around it. Just embrace it and trust God and wait. Wait for him to fulfill and to do things within our life because of that. So prison wasn't maybe that big because he saw God a little bit bigger. Let me mention a few people who spent time in jail, and some incredible things happened as a result of that. John Bunyan, what did he write? Pilgrim's Progress. Another one, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Remember that? The Cost of Discipleship. Chuck Colson, he was the guy who was in jail. He brought out Prison Fellowship, which is worldwide now. So what God does during these times, listen to this quote. I would hang everything on this quote this morning. Listen to what it says. It's a matter of serving God right where we are, even when we would rather be somewhere else. It's a matter of serving God right where we are, even when we would rather be somewhere else. I am sure Joseph just didn't want to be there at times. I know what he'd rather be. He'd rather be maybe back with his dad, back wearing his fancy coat. But he served God where he was. He was waiting upon God. He was trusting God. Is anybody a fan of Burt Lancaster? The Burt Lancaster films. Yeah, we've got quite a few. Can you remember the film called The Trapeze? You remember that one? I've been there. I was reading something about this, about the flyer and the catcher and in a trapeze act. So I need two volunteers. I'm joking. I did try and think of something that we could do to illustrate this, but I thought, no, you'll kill me. This is all to do with timing and trust between the flyer and the catcher. And this is the rule. The flyer must never try and catch the catcher. The flyer must never try and catch the catcher. It's the catcher's responsibility to catch the flyer. And sometimes in life, when you and I are going through things, we don't feel as though we've got anything to hold on to. When I look at the life of Joseph, he had nothing really physically to hold on to. The only thing he could do was just hold on to God. And sometimes it feels like we just let go of the trapeze and the catcher's there and we're in midair. And it feels like sometimes God's not in it. I think that's how maybe Joseph must have felt at times, that God is, where are you? Why am I going through this? I'm even faultless. I've done nothing wrong. Why am I going through all that? But God's in it. And he's preparing Joseph for something great. And I believe that's what God does in each life that he's going through. So listen to Isaiah. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. It's this proactive waiting on God with humility and grace. And during these times where we can't escape and we can't sidestep, we can't get out of it, is a few things that have come to mind. It's number one, it's to know that I'm not calling the shots. Number two, it's I'm not in control. Number three is the timing isn't up to me. I've got to learn to wait without worry, without the what ifs and without the buts. What if it works out like I didn't want it to? And you and I go through all these crazy kinds of ifs and these buts. And when you look at Joseph's life, this is something that I've been trying to get my head around. I've been praying about this. Is all that he's gone through, and he's just been serving and blessing people. And then he said to one of the guys, when you get out, when it's going well with you, just remember me to Pharaoh. What happened? Another 2 years. Forgotten. Have you ever been in them situations in life where it looks like it's coming to an end and then somehow it just seems to get worse and it seems to get deeper? And another 2 years. Totally forgotten. And now I don't know what God was doing in Joseph's life at that time. I have no idea whether he were bitter, whether he were angry, whether he was struggling, but you and I certainly, if we're honest, we can get like that. I don't get you, God. I don't know why you're allowing this. I haven't planned this. And yet, he's just doing something incredible in his life. And maybe some of the questions that Joseph had were things like this. What's going to happen if the cupbearer forgets me? What if I die in prison? What if I never ever get to clear my own name? You and I have all kinds of questions. Maybe some of the questions are things like, what if I lose my job? What if I don't get asked out again on that second date? What if I'm left on the shelf? What if I run out of money? What if my husband or my spouse makes a really bad life decision? What about my kids getting really ill? Or I can't find a place to live? Or a contract falls through? Or chemo doesn't work? Or she or he files for divorce? Or the church splits? You and I have got full of ifs and buts and questions. And sometimes we have to work through them with God. These ifs and buts, they kill us. They really do, because it's all that we dwell upon. And then during that time, just like Joseph did, he gets to know the voice of God. And God's voice is never in a panic. He's never anxious. God's voice never comes over in a fret. God's never in a hurry. God's never late. And he knows what he's doing. And he loves you and I, as we thought about this morning in communion, a beautiful time. Just the depth of love that he has for you. So what we wait for isn't as important than what happens to us while we're waiting. Let me repeat that. What we wait for isn't as important than what happens to us while we are waiting. And this is Joseph. It becomes really, really bold. Will you remember me when you come to Pharaoh? Will you not forget me? You'll find this in verses 12 and 14. And he's accepting that moment where he is, and he's serving God where he is, and he's putting himself to good use where he is. But he knows he's not actually going to stay there as well, because hopefully he's going to move on and he's going to be ready. Has anybody read Dr. Seuss books? I'm sure many of us have. I think there's been quite a few. I were brought up with green eggs and ham and cat in the hat and all that kind of stuff. But here's a book from Dr. Seuss, and it's called The Waiting Place. And Dr. Seuss describes it like this. He says, "This waiting place is a useless place where people just sit waiting. And time, it feels like this. We just don't get what's going on." So that was one of his books. So maybe Joseph, like you and I, were lonely. He cried, he was angry, he felt hopeless, he had no sleep. There were no change in his circumstances. Maybe screaming out, even swearing to God. And yet at the same time, he can look back at all the promises of God and the times that God has broken through into his life. And some, maybe we can just hear Joseph. "Father, I trust you. Father, I'm going to wait for you. Father, I don't get where I am at this moment. I don't understand prison. I don't understand why I'm going through this. But I will trust you, Father. I'm yours. Use me." He must have got to that place. And this kind of waiting isn't the waiting that Dr. Seuss is talking about, because God never wastes a thing. That's what I love about God. When it all feels as though it's falling apart, from God's viewpoint, it's all falling into place. And we read Genesis 39, two times, "But God was with Joseph." God was with Joseph. And he prospered. Prospered? Really? How can he prosper? But God prospered him in his difficulty. From jail to the second highest in Egypt. From rags to riches, from pauper to position, from awful to authority, from cell to status. Wow, what God, what have you done in this man? To be a bum in jail, to be the second highest in the nation, is going to be used to influence a whole nation. Decision making, rules and regulations, things he's going to bring in. This guy was just a shepherd originally. Wow. God, what were you doing in them 2 years? And it seemed like you'd totally forgotten him. What is God doing in your life? What is God doing in mine when it seems so hard and so difficult? Folks, I want to encourage you this morning, wait on God. Wait for him. He knows where he's at. He knows what he's accomplishing. He knows what he's doing. And this morning, I want to encourage us, as much as I encourage myself, is to live my life full on for God. On a gravestone, you've usually got dates, I don't know, from 1921 to 1992. Every grave has got a date from birth to death. But right in the middle is what, usually? It's a dash. So that dash, this dash is now. And what are we going to do with this dash now? Because this is life right here and now. We can either mope about, or we can just do his own thing, or we can actually live it full on for God. As we look at Joseph had some choices to make. He could have gone right into a big pity party. He could have got monk on with God. He could not speak to God. "I'm just going to do my own thing." But he gave himself fully. He served other people. He trusted God, and he were waiting for God. "I'm going to be 55 in a few weeks' time." You look quite shocked. Maybe you're thinking, "Yeah, you look 60, you're not about 55. In fact, we've got February coming up. My wife is always thankful for the January sales, because it's my birthday and Leah's birthday and Luke's birthday all in February. So she just gets stuff that's cheap in these January sales. Folks, what I'm trying to get at this morning is to make your life count. Because you and I haven't got a clue when it's going to end. We all think it's going to end up in old age, but none of us have got an idea of when it's going to stop. And as I've been looking at this, it's to live life absolutely full on for God. And I think that's going to be key, because really that's what's going to count right at the end. It's how you and I live our life full on for God. Years ago, we had Fiona Castle. She came to Guernsey. She spoke in Guernsey. We know her quite well. And I remember saying in one of her talks, she says, go and live life. Give it all that you have for Jesus. Live as though when he calls you, you are ready at any time. Whew. Any time. Listen to Jesus. If I live, you shall live also. And sometimes in life, you and I have got a bit of a wake-up call, whether we go through illness or whatever it is, sometimes God shocks us into that reality. You and I, to live our life full on for God. This is what God said to someone, and this guy wrote it down. God said to him these words, if there's anything you want to do for me and make a difference to my kingdom, do it now. Don't wait, because you're not going to be here forever. Go on that mission trip. Get stuck into your church life. Start up a business. Whatever you do it now while you have that chance. God is working in our waiting. A few years ago, we had Martin Goldsmith, lovely, lovely guy from All Nations College, speak at Shetland Bible Week. And you remember his wife when she got ill? And she had to go into hospital. I think it was Heather who kind of noticed something. And I went to see her. I went to see this lovely, lovely lady in hospital. And I said to her, are you okay? She said, well, I don't really understand why I'm in here. But I think I've come to the conclusion why. And she always seemed right calm. And then she said to me, it looks like I'm having to learn a little bit more patience. And she's one of the most beautiful, patient, calm, godly women you could ever wish to meet. And she said, it must be because I maybe need to learn a little bit more. In Genesis 41, we read, and we'll look at this next week, because next week's title is Getting Out of Our Comfort Zone into God's Comfort Zone. He's going out of prison, and now he's going to be exalted. So Joseph now is not just getting out of prison, he's actually getting out from a position to the second highest in the nation, just under Pharaoh. That's how much God is going to exalt this guy for being so faithful to him. And he's going to use him in a way to affect the whole nation and the whole people, all the land. So God has worked some incredible stuff in the life of Joseph. And Joseph, when you read about him in the next few chapters, he is humble, he is wise, he is mature. Do you know something, folks, where I've come to a conclusion? Is that God works in us, and even when it seems hard, he's doing something great. Because in us, there's some deep-seated stuff. In every life, we've got deep-seated things. And God, in his love, is just dealing with them, but it takes time. He's not rushing us on any of these things. Joseph gets married. I don't think he'll have ever thought he got married while they were in jail. He marries a lovely lady called Asenath. He's got two children, two boys, one called Manasseh, one called Ephraim. And we're going to be looking at this next week. I know time's just about gone. But Manasseh was named, and these names of these two boys are Hebrew names. They're not Egyptian names. These are Hebrew names. It says that God made me forget all my troubles. He made me forget them. I don't think he ever forgot, but when he looked back, the pain wasn't there anymore. And this is something that Jesus has done with you and I. As we've trusted him through the power of the cross, we can look back, but it's kind of gone. We were looking at this morning, that in Christ, we're not just forgiven, but our sin is gone. It's nailed to his cross. We don't hold it anymore. We're not carrying it anymore. We have no baggage anymore. We are free in Christ. He has done so much for you and I. And the reality of that within our life, as God deals with stuff, he is so patient with us, so loving, so kind. So Manasseh, God has made me forget all of my troubles. And then his other lad were called Ephraim, which means fruitful years. God's blessed him. God's blessed him. I'm going to close with a quote just before we sing. I don't even know who this is from, but I love this quote. And it's very short, but it's got a lot of meaning in it. And this is what it says. And with God's help, I will be myself. Isn't that great? With God's help, I will be myself. I want to encourage us as we look at Joseph in jail, things that you and I don't want to go through, but God knows what he's doing, and he's faithful, and he's strong. And underneath us are his everlasting arms. Might be a short period, might be a long time, but he knows what he's doing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're at work in us. And we want to commit ourselves to you, Lord, this morning. And to say that, Lord, as we're being proactive and we're doing what we're doing, we wait on you. Forgive us, Lord, for being impatient at times. We just know that you're doing something special in us during these waiting years or these waiting periods. We want to thank you for the life of Joseph, of learning so much from it. He just got on with it, Lord. And he was just there serving other people. Never went into a pity party, not what we've read. I'm sure he had many questions, Lord, just like all of us. But in these times, help us, Lord, to love you and to serve you by serving others. So, Father, thank you again for being a God of great patience. And Lord, we pray that as we wait upon you, you will accomplish something within us as you move us on to the next step that you have for us, Lord, in every life here. We wait upon you, Lord. We're willing to wait on you. Your word tells us, let patience have its perfect work so that you may be complete, lacking nothing. And so, Lord, we thank you that you've come to share your life with us, Lord. Life in your spirit. And we just praise you this morning for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.